Because of politics, Christians cannot make a distinction between the fact that even the ones we don't like because of the party they belong to are potential brothers and sisters in Christ. So we should do everything to bring them to Christ. We demonize them and we fast and pray against them when God wants to save them.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, grab your Bibles. Let's get to work. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. And I'll be using as a subject this morning for those of you who are visiting. We've been doing a study in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 9 in the book of Acts. And I'll be using as a subject this morning, chosen instruments. Chosen instruments. Please notice it is plural. Chosen instruments. Let's all say that together. Chosen instruments. Raise your right hand with me and please say this after me. I am. Come on, say like you're in it. I am. God's chosen instrument for this season. Amen. All right. Are you in Acts chapter 9? Before we read that, I would like to lay a few groundwork. The word instrument appears in many parts of life. We find it in music. This morning, those who were playing there were using musical instruments. It is also used in law. It's used in medicine. It's used in many parts of life. And I wanted you to understand that in simple term, an instrument is anything or a person that is used to accomplish an objective. An instrument is anything or any individual that can be used to accomplish a goal or an objective. Amen. And I want to state it categorically to every one of you. You and you and you and every single one of us is God's chosen what? Instrument. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 13, the apostle Paul says, do not offer your bodies as instruments to unrighteousness, but offer them as instruments of what? Righteousness. Don't offer it as instruments to wickedness or to anything that is sinful. So you can offer yourself as an instrument to sin or to God. To sin or to what? God. In this context, you'll notice that the word instrument is used as I defined it, that do not allow yourself to be used to accomplish the objective. What is the objective? One is righteousness. The second is what? Unrighteousness. So you are either offering yourself to be used as an instrument for righteousness or as an instrument for unrighteousness. Now, I want you to understand that every single believer is chosen. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 15, the 16th verse, he said these words, you did not choose me, but I have what? Chosen you. What was the purpose? So that we'll become instruments of bearing fruit, of bringing many to him, of destroying the powers of darkness. An instrument is a weapon. An instrument is a tool. Some instruments are dedicated for particular things, but there are some instruments that also cut across. Right? One of them is a hammer. You can use hammer for so many things. You can use it to break or you can use it to fix. I hope that God can use you to break and he can also use you to fix. Don't worry, we will get to the lesson for real. And so I want you to understand. Please go with me in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, ready? But I am a chosen person, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that I may declare the praises of him who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous or wonderful light. Amen. You have been chosen by God to bear fruit. You have been chosen to declare his praise. You have been chosen to tell people that I used to be in darkness, but Christ has redeemed me and set me free. Hallelujah. So every single one of us is a chosen what? Come on. Every single one of us is a. But the God that we serve often chooses unlikely instruments. He chooses people that most people will not even look up to. Amen. That is the kind of God that we serve. He has the habit of using ordinary people to change the course of history. The Bible teaches us that Abraham and his wife were barren, but God used them to begin a nation. It is interesting that people who were barren could be used to begin a nation. Moses, we are told, was a stutter, but God used him as his mouthpiece. The guy could speak because God chooses instruments and he makes those instruments do things that he wants. Rahab was a prostitute, yet she became the grandmother of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you are. You ought to be excited. It means God can choose you. And he has chosen you. I said he has what? Not some special people. You are chosen. I said you are what? Esther was adopted orphan. Please, she was not only an orphan, but she was also adopted. Two statistics. But she became the queen in the Persian monarch. That is what God can do. I've asked this question before. I'm going to ask it again. How many of you believe that even though you are not born and raised in this country, if God says you become the president of this nation, it can happen? Yes. How many of you believe it? Your hands are down. Some of you are doing this. You either believe God or you don't. But I do believe him. Amen? Amen. Because God can cause laws to change. I said God can cause what?
Laws to change.
Because of Joseph. What happened? You see, Joseph was lingering in prison. And God simply caused famine throughout the entire land just so he can bring the guy out. As for God, the way he orchestrates things, it's so interesting. So whenever you see bad things happen, don't conclude that Satan is at work. Sometimes it might be God himself pulling the strings because he has you in mind. I said, he has what? You in mind. There's something awesome he wants to do with your life. God also used Peter and John. In the book of Acts chapter 4, the scripture says, Peter and John, whilst they have been arrested by the Sanhedrin, the scripture says, they look at them and then they said, these are unlearned men. They are uneducated. Yet God was using them powerfully. And then I come to you and me. Let's just be honest. Some of you, if not all of us, we were not that smart. Pastor, you are insulting us. No, I will show you from scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Read with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You and I, the Bible says we are not that smart. We are not that influential. And we don't have a noble birth. Yet God chose us. How many of you were born in the royal house in England or in Spain? Let me see your hands. You were born there? Then what are you doing here? Because if you were born there, I'm sure you'd be watching me on TV. Brothers and sisters, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise. By human standards. Can we put that in modern terms? You are not that smart. according to the smartness standards of the day. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. How many of you are influential? When they even put you on TV, people wouldn't want to listen to you. Because you're not that influential. It says, not many of you are influential. Not many of you are of noble birth. Verse 27, but God. You didn't hear me. I said, but God. You are not smart. By worldly standards, you are not that influential. You were not of noble birth, but God. God Almighty has chosen you. Everybody raise your hand and say, but God. No matter the things that you are experiencing in life, but God. Why? Because God is that entity when he's inserted into everything. Everything can change. I said everything can what? But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world. Another version says, the lowly means people who are of no real good use. And the despised things and the things that are not to nullify, to cancel out the things that are. You see, this is why you don't need to be afraid when you go to work and some people think that they are all. Then they start showing their noses, and then you just chicken out and you are in a little corner. Simply say, but God. Now, they might be influential and of noble birth, but my God chose me. Chose me. I am a chosen instrument. I said, I am a, come on, talk to me. I am a chosen instrument. This is what God has made you and I. Verse 28, let's finish reading that. Verse 28, we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify. Please underline, circle, highlight, whatever you want to do with the word nullify. Nullify. God has chosen that he would use you to nullify some things. Do you understand what that means?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how many of you have been in what I call the battle of the classes? You walk into certain arenas, you realize that everybody there has a class, right? And if you don't belong there, you can tell you don't belong there, right? Now, so some may be president, some may be senators, some may be congressmen, some are police officers. You see, people have status. Then they ask you, what are you? Then you realize, you are none of those. And in that area, everybody, because of their status, they have connections. They have the ability to access certain things. But because you don't have that status, your ability to access certain benefits is not there. I'm explaining the word nullify. But God says, in spite of the fact that you don't have human connections, you have a heavenly connection. You can access the same thing that they do access. But God chose you. I said, but God, what? To what did he do? To nullify. Because when he nullified the statuses, then it means nobody has a status. Everybody is the same. We are all on the same level ground. Hallelujah. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Our lesson in the book of Acts today is about a guy who was chosen by God as an instrument he was going to use. But this guy was pure evil. Pure evil. And I want us to look at his story. He's called Saul. You all know Saul, who later on became what? Paul. God uses unlikely people and unlikely things. So let's pick up from the book of Acts chapter 9. We're reading the first 22 verses. And please, I am not one of those preachers that go over verses. We will read every single one of them. Remember, at this time, the church has been scattered. They have been persecuted. The person who is responsible for destroying the believers. All right? Now, before we read this, can you just put up Acts chapter 8? Let's look at verse 3 before we go. We are going to read that together. All right? Because I want you to see this guy who has been chosen. This guy who is being chosen by God. And you realize that, no. God, if you are looking for someone to do your work, it cannot be him. Acts chapter 8, let's look at verse 3 before we come here. It will help us to put in context what we are about to read. Please read with me. Ready? Go. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Now, I wanted to underline some words. Paul was not just persecuting the church. The Bible says he was what? Destroying it. Destroying it. That's an irony that God would choose one who is destroying his church to now spearhead it. And Saul did not only become born again, but he became a leader in the church. Amen. And the Bible says he dragged off both. Come on, talk to me. He dragged off both. So he was not dragging off only men. He was dragging off both men and women. Now, if he did that, what happens to the children? The children will become stranded. I wanted you to understand what this guy was doing. And the scripture says he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. This is the guy God says is my chosen instrument. Would you permit me to say, guess who came to church today? The one you don't like. The one who has been giving you problems. Your sworn enemy. But God says there ought to be an attitude with which we need to have towards those who seem to bother us. That is what today's lesson is all about. Chosen instruments must be ready to suffer. Yeah, Christians today don't like suffer. Everything you wanted to be nice. When you die, you realize that nice here doesn't go nowhere. So let's get ready. Amen. So with that in mind, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Are you there with me? Let's look at verse 1. We read to 22. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, meaning Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, not the one that died in chapter 5. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Notice how God is meticulous with the address. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, I'll pick up the reading from verse 13. Everybody, look at me. Saul thought he was doing the work of God until he met Jesus. Sometimes some of us think we are doing God's work, but actually, we are not. To him, these people are pure fanatics. They are not people that had to do. How are you talking about Jesus? Who is Jesus? And he's fighting. Sometimes you think you are fighting people and you are doing God's work. I pray that you will have a Damascus Road experience that will open your eyes to see that the things that sometimes we're engaged in is not God's work. Write it down. It is very easy to be passionate about something and still be passionately wrong because it's not your destiny. Saul was very passionate about what he was doing. He thought he was doing the work of the fathers. The Bible says he was a Pharisee. He knew that this is religious work and it's good. But when Jesus met him, he said, "That's not what I called you for." So I want to ask you, whatever you are doing today, is that what he's called you for? Is that what God has called you for? Pastor, I don't know if God has called everybody. I said, God has called what? Simple lesson. Write it down. If you want to know whatever you are doing is either what God has called you for or not, make sure that thing glorifies God. I said, make sure that thing what? Because whenever you read the Bible, the entire Bible is about the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. This is why the book of Romans, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of what? Glory. That is what this is about. Whatever you do, no matter how nice it looks, no matter how people feel, until God is glorified, you are outside his will. He must be glorified. I said, he must be what? Whatever you are doing, please turn to the person sitting next to you. Look at him. Don't say anything. I'll tell you what to ask him. Just look at them. And I want you to ask them, whatever you are into, is that what God wants you to do? Please answer. So Saul had gotten authority from the high priest. He's on his way. He's still destroying the church. He is doing everything he can to make sure that these apostles and believers are not going to preach about Jesus Christ. And he knows he's doing the right thing. He knows he's doing that until he meets Jesus. And the Bible says he's blinded. And those around him were wondering, who are you talking to? Can I draw a lesson here? It's amazing how some people can hear the voice of God whilst I preach, and others may hear the voice of Satan. The same word. It's your hearing. Your hearing matters. The Bible says whenever you hear the word of God, hear it the right way. I've often seen believers who would say, "Oh, Pastor, when you preach, you made this illustration." The entire sermon I preached, they don't remember anything except the illustration. Be very careful how you spend all your time only listening to my illustrations, because the illustrations are meant to explain principles. Amen. Amen. So the guy says, "Hey, Saul, what do you need?" He said, "You need to help me out because I cannot see." Let's pick up the reading. We're in verse 13. Are you there? So Jesus reveals himself to a brother named Ananias, and he tells him, "I need you to do some work for me." Verse 13, let's pick it up. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." If you were a Democrat, would you say that Trump is God's chosen instrument? And if you are a Republican, would you say Biden is God's chosen instrument? I'm looking in my Bible. I'm not looking to anybody. It is amazing how, because of our political lenses, we tend to write everybody off. God can pretty much use anybody. I've often walked into prayer meetings where believers are praying, and they are praying down one leader to the detriment of the other. You do not know who God has chosen to use. And if you are not willing to work with him, he will bypass you and use somebody else to work with. Are you guys with me? I am not saying that the two individuals I called are God's chosen vessels. I am saying that based on your political lenses, you could easily write either of them off. But as for God, how he orchestrates his stuff, you will never understand. He uses unlikely what? Weapons, unlikely people. And if one of them, the two I called, the past and the present, presidents of this country, if they walk into service this morning, who will hug who? I'm asking you. Because sometimes we tend to forget that every human being on the face of the earth is a child of God. And God wants to bring those who have strayed from home back to himself. And the only people he can use is you and me. And we have decided the ones that are good and the ones that are not. That is what Ananias is doing. He said, God, have you forgotten this guy? I'm trying to explain the verse we read. This guy, you haven't heard about him? He's destroyed the church. He's dragging of men. He's dragging of women. He's putting us in prison. You are telling me, Ananias, hey, God, aren't you around? Are you asleep? Hello? Did you really say I should go lay my hands on that dude? No. That ain't happening. And God says, he is my chosen vessels. God uses unlikely people. How that not many of you were influential and not many of you are of noble birth and based on worldly standards, you are not that smart, but God is going to use you. God is going to use you. Let's continue reading. 16, it says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Any chosen instrument suffer. Any chosen instrument, what? This is why many Christians don't want to be chosen instruments. Because we want an easy life. I will come here. Hey, I'm a chosen instrument. I'm a pastor, man. I'm a man of God. I'm chosen by God. But there will be people who will be insulting you. It's part of the work. It's a package. Am I right? It's like someone who got married. Can I talk to you married people now? A guy came to me one day, said, Pastor, when I look at my wife, I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like that. So I told him to go and come back in 2 days. And in 2 days, when he came, I presented to him with a box. And then I wrote on the box, your marriage. And when he opened the box, he realized that there was kinky. That was rotten. And then there was nice bread that was so salivating if you look at it. And I put it all in the same box. And he said, Pastor, what is the meaning of this? I said, in the marriage, some things are so salivating when you look at it. Lick everything. Then some things look as dead as the kinky. But it's a package and it's all in one person. There are some things you like about them. And there are some things you will not what? You cannot pick and choose. It's a package. So I told him, bro, go back. You, your life is like that. I said, I'm your pastor. I know you. There are some things in your life, they smell. Yet, You sit here and I preach to you all the time and we smile and laugh together. We must come to that place as the people of God to understand that suffering is like the marriage box.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.